Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing out there? Everybody doing good? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. I'm so excited to be here today. We're in a great series here, What Do I Believe When I'm Not Even Sure What I Believe? And today, we're looking at a great, great topic. It's called Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. It's a day that we're recognizing Pentecost, a significant day in the Old Testament and New Testament. And so it's really, what do I believe about the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit is very, very significant. And I always say it like this. It's like a church without the Holy Spirit is like drinking decaf coffee. You got some flavor, but it don't got no punch. Come on, somebody. And we were messing around with all these analogies early this morning when I was talking with the guys about the message. And it was like, it's like chili without the beans. But I'll leave that alone here. Come on. Listen, when I met Jesus way, way, way back when, I met him in a very real way. And I'm going to tell you, like, I am so thankful that when I met him and I got saved, from my stuff, from my sin, and I got born again. I'm so excited that I met the Holy Spirit in that moment. Because the Holy Spirit was just very real to me. As a matter of fact, the results of when I got saved, when I met Jesus, I just naturally, the power of sin started to be broken in my life. I cared about people far from God. Like, I wanted community. I wanted all these things. It was just a natural thing that happened. Now, when I met Jesus, it was at a very significant time in church history, actually. And in church life, it was during, if you look back on different things that have happened in Jesus' church over time, it was right in the middle of the charismatic movement. And the charismatic movement was very significant. And actually, it encompassed the whole globe. It's something that happened in like the mid-70s, right in there, right up to like the early 80s. And it started right here in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you know that or not. It started right at Duquesne University. Downtown is where the charismatic movement, and it really was a movement that happened, where God was restoring, he was restoring the Spirit of God in acknowledgement of God, the Holy Spirit, to his church. And with that came remarkable healings, miracles, and a lot of the gifts of the Spirit that you'll see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, when I met Jesus, I didn't just get a get out of hell free card. I got redeemed. Like, all of me got redeemed. And ever since then, it created this hunger in my life and a realization of the Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, many of us, like, over time, or maybe you met Jesus in, you know, in the last, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, whatever, like, the Holy Spirit's almost like this add-on. Oh yeah, it's like this add-on. Like it's like the little brother who comes along. You just got to tolerate them. It's like the younger sibling, right? And it's like, no, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I want to help uncover today what is the significance of this day called Pentecost Sunday, and what is the significance to you and to me in today's day and age. Now, first of all, we got to realize something with Pentecost here. The church was birthed in the worshiping, ministering power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, what we're recognizing today is Pentecost Sunday, like 50 days after Passover, Passover having to do with Easter, that's what we remembered there, is significant. It's the church's birthday. Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, like, no, it's the church's birthday. And that's what it is. It's significant. It's the birthday of the church. This church, although it's 42 years old, the birth of Jesus' church goes back 2,000 years ago. And I want us to see ourselves in the continuum of what not just today, but what happened 2,000 years ago and how it led us to today. Now, I know we've talked different times. It's like, well, is it the church's birthday or anniversary? Well, anniversary won't happen until the bride of Christ, which the church, not just our church, but the church on the globe is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. When they are married at the end of time, that will create the anniversary. That's what we're saying. It's the birth of something that's so significant that we're talking about it 2,000 years ago. No organization other than Jesus' church has lasted 2,000 plus years. None. That's what the significance is. And so Jesus, after he was resurrected, and he's talking right before he ascends to heaven to prepare a place for you and me. He's preparing a place in heaven for us. I think that's pretty significant. In Acts chapter 1, and when he was eating, there were so many significant things happened when people eat together. That's why I was so appreciative of Pastor Eric talking about our activity group. So many of them are going to have eating involved. Significant things happen when people eat together. Come on. Amen. Yeah, right here again, he's eating with them, right? Yeah. And he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift he promised. As I told you, John baptized with water, but in a few days from now, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power is dunamis, it's energy. Come on, it's the ability, it's the strength. What Jesus is saying, listen, don't leave home without it. He's saying, listen, don't attempt life without this. Because this is what's going to give meaning and sustenance to our life. And see, it's not just religion. It's not just obligation. Jesus didn't save us to send us to church so we could fulfill an obligation. No, he brought us here so we can fulfill an opportunity to relate together with him. Big difference, yeah. See, it's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. So every Sunday when we get together on the first day of the week, just like they did in the early church, we're continuing what began 2,000 years ago. They got together on the first day of the week, and so we're celebrating that, we're remembering that. We're remembering that power that he gives us here. So here it is, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to make it through the whole second chapter of Acts today. Are you ready for this? How many of you are really ready? How many of you by faith are ready? Okay. So here we go. This is it. On the day of Pentecost, we're going to talk about the experience. And then we're going to talk about the evidence, what happened as a result. And then it was explained. And then there was an empowerment, what happened afterwards. This is Pentecost. So this is what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to talk about the experience, the evidence, and we're going to explain, like, okay, what is this, the significance, and then the power and presence here. So here we go, Acts chapter 2. Jesus ascended into heaven. He told them to wait 10 days, and so they were waiting 10 days. They didn't know how long they were going to wait, but 10 days. And so here it is, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, filled means it was filled to maximum capacity. It was full extent. Now, there was the sound of rushing wind. It was like, woo! It was significant. It was like, have you heard the wind howl? Woo! You know, woo. Yeah, like the other day, there was tornado warnings, and we were at home, and Natalie was like, I think I hear a tornado. It's a significant sound. Thank God we didn't, you know. But it was a significant sound. The wind was blowing. You could hear something. It was tangible here. But I want to focus, and I want to camp out a little bit, on the day of Pentecost. What is the significance of Pentecost? Pentecost, and what is Pentecostalism, and what is charismatic? Now, Pentecost means 50, so it's 50 days after Passover. See, many people think there's hidden mysteries in the Bible. 50 days. It was called three different things in the Bible. It was called the Feast of Weeks, 7 weeks plus one. Feast of Harvest, or the Day of First Fruits. That's Pentecost right there. So they're waiting on this significant day of Pentecost. They're waiting because this is something that was done for years and years and years. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever waited for something? How many of y'all if you place an order at a restaurant and it takes like 3 minutes more than you think it should, how many of y'all, you need the power of the Holy Ghost right then? These people were waiting 10 days, and they weren't even sure what they were waiting for. They just knew Jesus said wait, so they waited. So they waited, and they're in the moment here. So 50 days here. So this word first fruits, that's a Hebrew word for which means there's more to come. In 1 Corinthians 16, they brought their offering on the first day of the week. Now you may be here today and you may say, well, every time I come to church, they bring up money. Well, in the New Testament church, right after Jesus ascended, on the first day of the week, they brought their offering there. So we're remembering, see, it's tied to that. And so here we have the day of first fruits. So they were giving something on this significant day of Pentecost. It was gratitude. Now, in Deuteronomy 16, there were three significant times that every man in Judaism needed to go to Jerusalem. Now track me here. It was Passover, this festival, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, First Fruits, and then the Feast of Shelters in the fall. Now this is significant because I believe that when God does something, he seizes opportunity. He seized Passover when everybody was in Jerusalem for Passover for Jesus to give his life. He chose Pentecost to do something very significant because everybody would have been in Jerusalem. Okay, they all went. This was like, you're going. Okay? So there was three significant times that they all went to Jerusalem here. And they gave first fruit offerings. Now you had to bring an offering. Okay? You brought something. They brought their best. Now, Pentecost significance, Feast of Weeks, Feast of first, you know, the first fruits, they would bring the first of the wheat harvest. Passover was the barley harvest. So wheat in that culture was very, very significant. It was a symbol even of life. So when you had to bring the first bit of wheat, that was the harvest. Now they were just there 50 days earlier. They brought it back, and you would bring two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread. The significant thing here was that they were leavened, that they weren't unleavened. In Passover, you remove all the yeast, all the leaven. Here, you had it in. This is significant in the Jewish culture. Now, I know you're sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, why are you telling me all this? It's going to get good. Just trust me. So in this culture, they would bring two loaves of bread, and they would literally wave them before God. It was called a wave offering. Everybody, show me your wave offering. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, say wave. You wave. There you go. Yeah, it's a wave. That's why they call it a wave offering. You wave it before God. Now, it could be. I don't have absolute proof of this. It was unleavened because God could have been symbolizing to them that, hey, that which was unclean is now clean, and now the Jew and the Gentiles not being Jewish, both are being offered to God as pure and holy. It could have been that. I don't have proof that. I can't open the Bible and prove that. But there's symbolism in there that shows us something. God was choosing a very significant day in Pentecost to say that which was not clean is now clean and useful and able to be used here. Pentecost, the first of more to come. Yeah. So what is this thing called Pentecostal? Now, some people may have asked you this question, like, is your church Pentecostal? And how many have ever got that question? Yeah. And a lot of times, like, you're like, I don't know. We don't believe in giving pennies. We're dollar costal. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Pennies from heaven. Yeah. No, I mean, so there's Pentecostal. So there are major denominations. I'm not going to list them for you. They're very Pentecostal. Our church, we're not Pentecostal in the sense of Pentecostalism, but I do believe in the power of Pentecost. I'm going to get to the differences here. In Pentecostalism, it is you got to be holy to produce the Holy Spirit. So there's lots of rules. You got to obey certain things. You got to do certain things. And if you don't, the Holy Spirit's not going to help you. in charismatic thinking, the Holy Spirit produces the power of God. It produces holiness. You see the difference there? Holy Spirit produces holiness. Holiness in Pentecostalism produces, if you're holy, then it'll give you the Holy Spirit. See, you see the reversal there. Charismatic, charis. That word, it means grace, and it's a gift. It's an emphasis on that, yes, there are manifestations of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's 9 of them. They're really, really cool gifts. See, when God gave the Holy Spirit, it was the person of the Holy Spirit, and then the manifestation of the gifts were found later on all through the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, what Jesus continued to do in his followers. And we believe in that. Our church, we are a charismatic church. We believe that the power of God and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is still available for us today. We believe that. We believe that the Holy Spirit produces holiness. I'm going to show you what these things are now. But I needed to uncover that because if you understand the Bible in light of the whole thing, it begins to make sense. Listen, I'm going to keep saying this. What we believe in Jesus Christ, it's reasonable, logical, but still requires faith. See, many people think, well, it's either all reasonable and logic or it's all faith and you got to be blind. No, it's reasonable, it's logical, it makes sense, and it requires faith. It requires both of those. We don't shut off our brains to be followers of Jesus. And we don't just allow our brains to dictate all of the reason in our lives. Does that make sense? See, so we find this significance. So the worldly view of Pentecostalism here is this: no makeup, women can't wear pants, you got to have your head covered, you got to stay away from others, you're kooky and spooky, and if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. The biblical view is we realize that Pentecost was the start of the church and the power of the Holy Spirit. Significance here. It's still available to us today, and we need Holy Spirit empowerment in our lives. That's what we're saying when we're saying, wait a minute, there's a biblical view of this that's very significant to us today. This is what it is. The other difference is this. Is that in Pentecostalism, it becomes all about us in these walls. It becomes all about us. And what I'm going to show you all through the book, the second chapter, is charismatic is it's not only about us, it's about everybody in our region. It's about other people. Two significant differences. So our education in God, in the Bible, should produce an experience. And our experience should be based on our education. That's a fancy way of saying when you believe the Bible, it should produce an experience. But our experience must be based in the Bible. We can't go outside of that. Now, I know I'm telling you a lot of things, but now let's walk through these things together here. So verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. How many of them? Each of them. And everyone, how many people? Present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking another language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now the Spirit, the sound, the wind, the breath, the Spirit is significant all through the Bible here. There's in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's the same word for life, for this wind. In Genesis 1, the Spirit was over the water, creating the earth. In Genesis, that next is God breathed into Adam and he got life. Ezekiel 37, God breathed and dead bones began to rattle again. That's Spirit, that's life, that's breath. Very, very significant here. So the first thing we see that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of, it's life. We wonder where the life, you know, that we were promised when we became followers of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. and you don't got to be kooky or spooky or weird to do it. Somebody say, glory. No, we just have to have a belief, a faith that rests in Jesus Christ and who he is here. Yeah, in each one of them, and fire. Fire is a symbol of purification. Fire is purification. Now, it was funny, if those of you that maybe grew up in a Methodist or Presbyterian or a denomination, typically on Pentecost Sunday, and even growing up in the Catholic Church, on Pentecost Sunday, the minister would typically wear red. They would wear red because it was a symbol of fire, as purification. All I had was a red Christmas sweater, and I wasn't about to put it on in May. I'm just sorry. I looked at it and said, that's not happening. Come on. It's not going to happen. Okay? But it's red. It's the sign of purification. It's a sign of purity here. In each one of them present, in the earth, they were led by the pillar of fire. And then the fire was in the tabernacle, progressive through the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is saying, and God the Father is saying, now I'm going to put a fire inside of you. That's why we do not call this room that we're in right now, we don't call it a sanctuary. This does not house the presence of God. Our lives house the presence of God. Our lives joined together are a holy temple before God, joined together for a holy and pure purpose. See, that's why we say this is an auditorium. We all meet together here. But if you were to come in here, I was in here this past week, and it was empty. There were no people here. It wasn't a sanctuary. It was an empty room. Our lives being joined together, being connected, that creates a habitation for God, something significant. See, this mentality of experience is so vitally important. So this is what they did in the early church. They got together. They said, first thing they needed to do was get themselves a logo. They said, well, we need a logo for the church. We're going to have t-shirts, and we're going to sell them all over Jerusalem. And so they came up with this logo. They said, okay, here's the first logo here. And the logo, and there's people. And then we got to put tongues of fire on their head, and we're going to draw fire on all of them significantly here. Yeah, here's all the people joined together. And then, okay, let's get fire, and let's put it on their heads, and let's do this significant here. That's what they did. That's what their first logo here, inside of people. So that, my friends, is the experience. Let's look at the evidence. Verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? These people are all from Galilee, and we hear them speaking in our own native languages here. Now, at this point, many of us who have been in church for a while, we feel the tension right here. We feel a tension between, okay, are we all going to have to speak in tongues? And then we start getting into, well, can we do it? And if you don't have an interpretation, there's all these things. Tongues are an evidence, but not the evidence. Now, when I met Jesus in a very real way, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And tongues just came with it. And it's been a part of my life for the last 42 years. That was part of the charismatic movement that I was a part of. And it's still in me today. It's not the evidence, it's a evidence. Matter of fact, I don't want to burst your bubble, but the Apostle Paul, he actually bragged that he prayed in tongues more than anybody else. The Apostle Paul, you know, the one who wrote most of the Bible, he was bragging. He said, I don't want to brag, but I kind of do it more than you all. I mean, if most of us were there right now and read that letter, we'd say, that arrogant apostle. No, I'm serious, we would. We'd say, who's he think he is? But he was saying, I want you all to get this gift. But so I'm not going to hang out on tongues right now, but I want you to understand, because I believe what happens. And the enemy has done a very good job in our day and age getting us focused on other things, but we miss the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're fixated on a gift rather than the person of the gift. So let me tell you what the person of the Holy Spirit does. There's all these things. I'm going to give you three verses here This is what they are. He's a comforter. The comfort of the Holy Spirit, very significant here. The counselor. Now, all of these things are found in those verses above them. In John 14, John 16, Luke 4. This is the Holy Spirit right here. How many of y'all could use some comfort in your life? Peace in the midst of turmoil. How many of y'all have ever needed counsel? How many of y'all need confirmation of the words of Jesus? Are these really God's words? He's not. Yeah. How about courage and boldness? How about you need to know that God's with you, somebody that's close beside you? How about conviction? Oh. I know other people that need that one. I know a guy. He needs that one. But how about captives set free, brokenhearted healed, downtrodden lifted? Come on. That's my God. See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what He, God the Holy Spirit, does. Red-lettered words of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. That's Him. And maybe when we need comfort and we need counsel and we need courage and we need set free, maybe we got to like tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit has those things. And we're dealing right now in a day and age, in 2024, in a day and age when the Holy Spirit's like this add-on in the corner, keep them quiet, and we wonder where the power is to live victorious in freedom. We wonder where that is. It's because it's found in these things. This is evidence of the Holy Spirit. We have life and we love purity. We have life and purity. I have life in God, and it's joyful, and it's an adventure. And if you're not experiencing the adventure with Jesus Christ today, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray some adventure on your life. Amen. How many of you are like, I need a little less adventure? Then we're going to pray some counsel on your life. Come on, are you with me? Like, what is it you need from God? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that has it for you. We need to tap into this power. That's what it is. It's so significant here. Yeah. Come on. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like a bland spaghetti sauce with no garlic and oregano. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to speak some language to you today. Come on. Come on. Are you with me? Come on. We need some spunk in our life. Adventure, that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, I'm just so thankful in the charismatic movement. See, what God does in a moment, it turns into a movement, but if we're not careful, it will turn into a monument. And I'm not saying to go build a monument. I'm saying let's continue the movement. We are a part of a movement. A movement that began 2,000 years ago, but we're not tapping into it because, listen, we're going into educationalism. It's all about me. It's all about us. It's all about here. But this book is so significant because it uncovers something very, very significant in our lives. As a matter of fact, if you do not have a Bible, we want to give you one. If you don't have a Bible here, we're going to give you one just like this, sealed up, signed, sealed, and delivered. Right here. And we want to give you this because we want you to experience this wind and this fire that God promised you here on earth. That's right. I said it. We want you to have a little bit of earth, wind, and fire. Come on, somebody. That's right. All three. Come on. He promised us here on earth that we would have those things. And it's found in this book. It's that joy here. So let's look at this explanation in verse 12. They were starting to ask a question. They were like, man, what's going on here? What happened? What is this thing? They were asking. They were amazed here. And in verse 14, the apostle Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Just a thought. Okay. No, what you see was predicted long ago from the prophet Joel. 800 plus years earlier, they were predicted that this day would come. And you thought drive-through was taking some time. No, are you tracking this? 800 years before, it was written that this is that. Actually, there's a lot of translations that says, Peter stood up and said, this is that. This is that which was written a long time ago. This is that. Let's put this in context to what is happening here. I will pour out a significant thing to all people. Your sons, your daughters, young men will see vision. Old men will dream dreams. Come on, dreaming dreams is good. Visions are good. This is men and women. The old, the young, sons and daughters. In those days, verse 18, I will pour out my spirit on servants, men and women alike. Come on, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above. The sun will become dark. And everybody, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, this is significant here. God is creating his church. And so the Apostle Peter explained in context what is going on. Remember, our experience has a context that's explained, and the explanation has an experience that goes with it. Everybody's included in this. Isn't that good that God doesn't play favorites? I know sometimes we think that, but he doesn't. God's not into playing favors. He's about to light us up for his glory. Come on, somebody. This is a significant moment to turn into something. And what did they get? They got empowered. Verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? You can tell the Holy Spirit's up to something. What shall we do? What should we do? I learned something and I got something, but what shall we do? What shall we do here? And Peter replied, where we all should start, repent. Look, if you're ever questioning where to start, just go to repentance. No, I'm serious. It was Jesus' first words in Mark. Every dispute, how would your house look differently if every time there was a problem, we said, this is what we must all do first is repent. Not, you need to repent. How about us repent? Repentance works. It works in all of life. Because it's a way that we say, God, reverse my heart. Shape me for your good. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a change of direction. Brothers, what should we do? Each of you must repent and turn towards God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and they're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding? In Acts chapter 2, meeting Jesus and Holy Spirit, it was all one. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, brings conviction. You can't even really get saved without the Holy Spirit. But then there's a fullness of the Holy Spirit that comes. And it says, listen, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The repentance, it's reversal, it's renouncing, and it's reshapeability. That's what it is. And who's this promise for? This promise is to you, verse 39, to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And Peter continued preaching for a long time. Now, I don't know what a long time is, but he preached a long time. I like how that says it. You could tell the Holy Spirit was in it because none of them left early. A long time here. And he was urging them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. This is it here. And then in verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. So they repented. they turned towards God, and they were going to get baptized in water, baptized in fire with the Holy Spirit, and something significant was about to go down. You see how the experience, there was evidence, it was explained, everything was in order, and then there was an empowerment. Could it be that we as God's people in our day and age are missing the power of God because we're ignoring the power of the Holy Spirit? We want life, but we also need purity. In John 16, Jesus said something really significant here. Jesus said, hey, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. Then I'm going to send him to you. Could you imagine what would be better than Jesus? Now, I want you to think about this. This is a mindset that we have. If you were to open up your email from the church, then you were to go to, on social media, and you were to see Jesus was going to be preaching at Bridge City Church. He was going to be at Murraysville this week. How many of y'all, that'd be like, he is? How many of y'all thought that would be a big deal? How many of y'all would make it even if you're tired? How many of you might even push back plans till later in the day? How many of you, if he went long, you wouldn't like... I mean, Peter went long. Long time. That's Jesus. And then I know you'd think, yeah, but then the week after he's going to be down at White Oak, and I know you're going to look at her and say, we're stuck with you, Pastor Rick. Think about this. If Jesus said, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, which is something better than me, do we treat it the same way? Do we treat the Holy Spirit the same way? If you were to open up your email, look on social media, you were to read, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to be at Bridge City Church Murraysville this week, you'd be like, would it be significant to you at all? No, I'm asking a real question. It's because we have a mindset about the Holy Spirit that, oh, there's Jesus, I mean, yeah, and there's God, then there's this add-on. Rather than the sustaining, life-giving, purity-driven, holiness-bringing Holy Spirit that leads us into adventure. It's a mindset. But I want to tell you that today, I believe that the Holy Spirit's prevalent. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if you read the rest of the book of, the whole book of Acts, but the rest of the chapter, they were driven to community. As a matter of fact, tonight at Growth Track, I'm going to be sharing about what does a Spirit-led life look like at 5 o'clock. I'm inviting you to come and grow. Get a system of growth in your life. Don't just learn how to eat fish, but learn how to fish. Learn what a growing, active life with Jesus is. That's what Growth Track is. It's teaching how to grow in a systematic way. That's what we're going to help you with. But if I were to tell you the Holy Spirit's going to be there tonight, but it's a nice day, and it's been raining a lot. No, I'm serious. Are you tracking? In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to receive prayer. And we're going to spend an extended time praise and worship. That's what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite all of you to stand to your feet right now. Just, we're going to worship. And why do we stand to our feet? Well, just because we honor God, that's all. And if you're part of the prayer teams, you can go back and you can prepare to pray at this time. And Growth Tracks tonight, I'm inviting you to come. But I want to read one more verse to you about the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, right before that, it says, don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, if you look in context to Acts chapter 2, it's amazing. But look at this. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. Making music to the Lord from your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to catch this. See, many of us, we think the band's here to do a little warm-up for the message. Not true. It's to create an atmosphere and culture where God, the Holy Spirit, can flow and function in our lives. The Holy Spirit here. We want more of Holy Spirit? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody with gratitude in our hearts. So what we're going to do right now in this moment, we're going to create a time where we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to worship God. And I'm inviting you to come up front and just worship Jesus. And some of you may say, wait, that's just not my thing. You got to take up with God. And then we have teams of people in the back willing to pray for physical healing, emotional, relational, financial miracles and faith. We have people in the back that will pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. They're willing to pray for just for you to experience God. They're going to prophesy. They're going to speak words of encouragement, knowledge, and discernment to you. Let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't you want prayer? Why wouldn't you want to say, I need all I can get? Because when he said be filled, it's continually filled. Why wouldn't you want to be filled? So what we're going to do, they're going to begin leading us in worship. And we're going to do an extended time. Listen, if you have to leave, I get it. You maybe have plans, I get it. You just do so quietly. We're going to stay till everybody gets prayer that wants prayer. And we're going to worship Jesus and spend time with God. Because I know for myself, I haven't spent enough time with God this week. And doing for a couple extra minutes, surely it will not hurt, and surely I will not die. So we're going to worship, and if you want prayer, you're going to go to the outside walls. You're going to just make your way out. And one of the ushers are going to direct you to a team. So at this time, you can begin moving to just, yeah, everybody, listen, who doesn't need prayer for something? And the rest of us, we're going to come up front, we're going to worship. So they're going to lead, and you're going to move to the walls, and then we're just going to spend time with Jesus here today and see what the Holy Spirit would do. So either you're moving to the wall or you're moving up, but let's move, and let's posture ourselves. For Holy Spirit, we need you. So Holy Spirit, come, guide us and lead us, mold us and make us into what you need us to be right now. In the name of Jesus. Lead, we will follow. Church, let's move in Jesus' name.